Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Lance Briggs, who will not play Madden with you, on another episode. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. Lance, we got to talk about somebody that you used to go up against in some of these battles out here. TJ Houshmandzadeh is talking about one of the young players that the Chicago Bears currently have, and he's got some high praise for this young man. Got to talk about that and look at wide receiver trios in the league, all that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Lance, how are you, my friend?
I'm lovely.
What's the weather like out there right now, man?
We had some overcast yesterday, so
no overcast.
We're still under 100. So that's a good thing.
You know? That's when I don't want to come to Arizona. You know what I mean? Like that's what my dad would always book trips to go see the family. Like I just look at him and be like, so the trip to the sun was booked up. So you said Arizona in July. That's
the All right. It can be brutal. It can be brutal. And if you're not used to it, it'll make you run away from the sun.
How do y'all do? Because I know out here, like you do, like tryouts and stuff for football in the summertime. Like, how do y'all do that? Like, y'all got indoor gyms, or y'all just be out there baking?
Baking for the most part, but you know, okay. There's you have your heat index warnings. You know, so if it gets to 115, then there's protocols that have to be set in place. You know, where you can't wear certain gear. You have to, you know, right? It's under 15. You can only be outside for so long, and you're required. Like there's requirements and protocols that are set in when you get to 115. If it gets over 115, you probably won't be able to practice.
I don't even know what to say to 115. Hey, this episode of the Chicago Bears podcast brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming, where it does get to 115, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6 right off of I-80 94. 115 to practice in is insane. I used to like playing baseball when it would get to like 90 towards the 100s. I was like, this baseball weather, I feel good. I can't imagine being in football pads. And 100 and like okay, we still out there under 115, 110 degrees, and I'm in pads.
If you know, what people don't understand, like when you have shade, it's 10 degrees cooler. You know, yeah. It's 10 degrees cooler, you know, and some people, you know, we'll find places, especially for my youth team, we'll find places where we'll have parks where we have lots of shade. And kids they're fine, you know, and you gotta remember this is it's not like it's shock. It's a shock weather. Like it's just every day you're getting up, you're going to school every day. And so everybody's, it's not like 115 just jumped up this week. No, it's gradually been going up each week and each day. And we knew that 115 was coming last week, you know, cause it's been 110 for the last 2 weeks, 111, you know, so you get used to it.
Whew. Hey, bless y'all, man. Y'all stay safe out there. That's all I'm going to say. Let's get into some of this foot. It's a dry heat. That's what they always say. It's a dry heat. You don't sweat. It is kind of scary. Mm-hmm. You be hot in the mud, but it's a little dry. But no, we got to get into some of this football talk, though, Lance, because TJ Houshmandzadeh, or what was the name that you said pre-pod?
Oh, my good friend, Houshmandzadeh. Oh, yeah.
TJ Houshmandzadeh was on with Keyshawn Johnson, and he was breaking down a receiver who he trained the Chicago Bears have now drafted in Rome Odunze. He talked about Rome Odunze very, very highly, basically saying that he's big, he's fast, he has amazing ball skills, he's absolutely crazy. He says he cannot compare him to anybody that is currently in the league. He has ball skills, maybe like Larry Fitzgerald, but he's faster. He's bigger than Davante Adams, who also has great skills, and he's one of the best wideouts in this draft, if not the best wideout in this draft. Basically saying that we got an absolute anomaly with the number 9 overall pick. When you look at Rome Odunze and you hear that from TJ Houshmandzadeh, I guess let's start here, right? Like, what are your thoughts on the fact that he's coming out with that level of praise about the wide receiver that the Chicago Bears have?
Well, from a receiver to another receiver, you know, that's high praise, you know, and TJ, he's a guy that got his yards the hard way. You know, he took the big hits. He did what he had to do and played opposite of Chad Ochocinco, and he played against a lot of great receivers. So for him to say that stuff is, you know, that's pretty special. You know, that's pretty cool. And when we're talking about the draft and when you watch those players, I honestly did like Dunze. He was the top of my board as far as I felt, you know, and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is up there, but I would have been just as happy getting a Dunze, which we did get, over Marvin Harrison Jr. Just watching him over the games and the way that him and Michael Penix, you know, as soon as they saw any single high, you know, he would throw the ball up to him and let him go get it. That is that's a big trust and skill that will translate over into the league. And at his height and his speed, and if he does catch the ball like Larry Fitzgerald, that does speak to a very, very dangerous Bears offense, you know, and it's a weapon that is going to come in handy. When you talk about you want to put up 400 yards a game of offense, you have the ability to do that when you have a guy that you can always turn to and throw up and get positive catches out of him.
Yeah, I mean, like when you look at, I guess, right, like how this offense is going to play out, how do you see Rome really fitting into it, though, right? I mean, we got some dogs. How do you even it out? How do you get the ball to everybody, I guess, right? Because you got Keenan Allen, you got DJ Moore. To me, I see Rome Odunze as, at best, the third guy. I mean, of course, he can move up, and depending on injuries and stuff like that, he'll get more opportunity. But do you think that he'll be able to make that level of impact year one in this league?
Well, you know, when you have this many weapons, I think the most important part is to, number one, is everybody to be unselfish. You know, that's the part that is more important than anything else. You got to be unselfish. And if you don't force the ball, if you don't force the ball because you don't have to, take the open guy, take what the defense is giving you. And if you do that, we'll be extremely successful. Yeah. You get into the mode where it's, you know, we win, but I didn't get my touches. I didn't get my touches and I'm frustrated here and there. You know, then you're going to start forcing the ball. Then you have all these weapons and things are going to start breaking down. So it's about spreading the ball, taking what the defense gives you. If you take what the defense gives you, meaning, you know, if Odunze is open on this play, that's where you're taking. Keenan Allen's open on this play, I'm taking it. Boom. That's, you know, Gerald Everett's open on this play. Then I think we'll be we could be almost unstoppable as an offense.
Is the amount of weaponry then almost a benefit to Rome? Because, I mean, listen, I don't know who you're double-teaming on this team right now, but, like, you know they're going to focus on DJ Moore. You know they're going to focus on Keenan Allen. Does that mean kind of like, not the defenses won't focus on Rome Odunze, but they're like, if I got to pick my poison, you're the poison. I've seen these other two in the league for 6 years, 7 years plus. Yeah, I mean, I know what they can do to me. I don't know what you can do to me. Will that be more of a benefit to Rome in year one, you think?
It's always going to be a benefit. It's always going to be a benefit, you know, and your primetime players or go-to players will reveal themselves as the year goes on. And again, you know, you might go a couple games where your output, you know, production output isn't as high, you know, as far as catches, you know, you're doing more blocking, you're doing more other things, leading the team, but your numbers will come, you know, because defenses have to always shift toward what their tendencies are, what the tendencies of this offense. If the tendencies are, okay, they're moving toward Keenan Allen, and Cole Kmet, your touches, it's going to come open. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. Rome Odunze is going to have his games. It's going to be fun to watch. Honestly, it's going to be fun to watch. I think more importantly, we got to make sure that we can protect. We can protect and give enough time that Caleb can get the ball out, get the ball to all his weapons.
Absolutely. I think that's still so key to me. And I know there's, you know, you want to sit there and have – Listen, you want to sit there and have all the weaponry and all the guys that you can go to and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it is about having those dogs up front that can block. And I do hope the Bears did enough. I like Ryan Bates. I like Coleman Shelton. I don't love either one of them. I don't love Braxton Jones. I think on the left side, I've still got some question marks there. But if Caleb's getting the ball out quicker, with having more weapons, you have the opportunity to get the ball out quicker. I think that that will work in the Bears' offense's advantage this year. And I mean, at the end of the day, Lance, we got a punter. It's going to be pinning guys on the one, so we're going to get the ball in great
situation. Fourth round punter.
Hey, there you go, baby. Fourth round punt.
Mm-hmm.
You feeling any better about that, Lance? You feeling any?
Hey, man, listen. Alex Brown was drafted in the fourth round. Okay.
I love it.
I wonder if this punter was drafted before Alex was drafted. It's interesting.
If he was, are you going to mess with him about that? We gotta look that up. EO, see what pick AB was, mm-hmm. and then we gotta see what pick this punter. Are you going to mess with him on TV that a punter was taken ahead of him?
Hey, no, not at all. You know what I mean?
That was so believable.
Right. I want to see, when is the highest that a punter has been drafted in the draft? That would be interesting, right?
If I'm not mistaken, this may be years ago, but I think there has been maybe it was a kicker. Round kicker taken.
Sebastian Janikowski was a first round kicker.
Yeah.
I remember that, but punter?
Punter is crazy.
That is, right?
It's crazy. Good, if you take the punter,
we're taking you higher than Alex Brown could be taken overall.
What's Alex catching strays today? What's up with that? Alex Brown, 104. Torrey Taylor was 122. Close, but no cigar. That's almost there. Mm-hmm. Let's keep this thing moving along. Appreciate y'all tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Appreciate y'all for showing love, as you always do. Let me ask you this, Lance, because TJ Houshmandzadeh is somebody who, I mean, I remember him being an absolute dog, and I think that he's absolutely valid to be speaking on and training young wide receivers. I would hope that Rome Odunze takes the aggressiveness from TJ and continues that in his career. But what was it about him that y'all were so good at stopping, bro? I mean, TJ's games versus you guys were first game against you, 2 for 5. He had 13 yards. Second game against you, he was 4 for 9 for 35 yards. Third game against you in his final season, he did not get a catch. What were y'all so good at shutting his side of the ball down?
Oh, shoot, man. I don't know. We had awesome corners, you know, and Peanut, you know, Tim Jennings, you know, we had a plethora of guys that go out there. Our defense, we were flying to the ball. We were probably just playing disciplined defense that day. You know, and so, you know, it's interesting. Interesting enough, I played against him when he was at Oregon State. You know, when he was at Oregon State. You know, and I mean, they put a shellacking on us. This was the year they went and they played Notre Dame. You know, in the bowl game, but they had a hell of a team, and he was one of those guys. He was a guy that I think creeped up on those boards where people were looking at Chad Johnson. And they're like, listen, there's another guy on that other side that you really need to be paying attention to. And obviously he ended up having a very good NFL career.
How do you, and I guess this kind of speaks to what the Bears are going to have to go up against week in and week out, right? Where if you have that guy that a Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, as he was at the time, that, you know, is an absolute dog, that, you know, can go out there and have a huge game against you. How do you focus on him while still keeping enough attention on the other guy on the other side of the field who can do very similar things? TJ, a very good receiver as well.
You just have to be disciplined defensively. You know, defenses are they're built to be as sound as possible. You know, so the thing about defense. So you have these great weapons and stuff on offense. You neutralize that by getting your hands on these receivers, getting them off the mark, you know, I mean, moving that quarterback, getting to the quarterback, you know, getting the quarterback off the mark, you know, getting him to throw the ball early, a little bit here or there. Now, if you have an offense where your receivers are just running free and your blocking is great, okay, everything works perfectly. Okay. Now you add the other live bodies and you put those live bodies in there and they're doing disruption, disrupting the timing and everything of this offense. Then you give them problems. And so what you really want to do defensively is make them go the whole way down the field, make them earn every way. Because if you make them do that, and just talking like a 14, 15, 16 play drive, mistake's going to happen.
Yeah, it turns into a game of endurance almost, right? Like, hey, listen, if you're going to get in on play 15, you got in on play 15. And that was the one thing about y'all that, like, when I watched the 05, 06 defense, that it was always like, guys could get yards, but when the red zone showed up, they had no idea. They're like, all right, how do we get in there?
Right.
Okay, we got down the field. Big play. We made a big play. Maybe it beat somebody over the middle. I don't know. But – all right, now we got to score. How do we score? You know what I mean? I think that's the part where when I look at this Bears team this year, that answer should be available to you when you see a Cole Kmet, when you see, right? We've got essentially, according to TJ, three wide receivers who, I mean, if Rome is what he's advertising, an absolute monster that has not been seen in the league right now. I'm not going to say in history, but right now in the league, tough comparison apparently. And you got two tight ends. You've got two running backs, three running backs possibly. You got Caleb Williams himself, who if he needs to, could just be like, I'm going to just run this one in.
Yeah. On paper, we look formidable. All right. But that has to transition to the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can talk about this. We can talk about all this stuff and we're unstoppable. We're this, we're that. Okay. But until you show, because, you know, I'm from California, the show me state, you know, until you show me something, you've done nothing. All right.
Do you agree with TJ that there's not a wide receiver right now in the league that we can compare Rome to? I mean, 6'4". He said he ran a 10.500 meter. So like I think he ran a 4.45 at the combine 40 times. He's like, he's faster than that. He's like, you go through all the combine stuff and y'all know how that goes. I was like, I don't know how it goes. Like, it was basically just training specifically for that. And he'll tell y'all about that story. But do you think there's somebody comparable to him right now? 6'4", 4'4", Larry Fitzgerald type hands.
I don't know. I don't get enamored by numbers. Like, to me, like, oh, okay, you know, he's tall. That's awesome. You know, I know what you can use with a tall receiver. Okay.
Yeah.
He runs the X and the 40 yard dash. Awesome. He must be fast. You know what I mean? Let me see him on the field. But what impresses me more about Odunze is I watched a lot of Washington's games last year,
you
know, and versus those one-on-ones, he made very tough catches. He makes the tough catch. He's aggressive attacking the ball. That is what's impressive to me, you know, stuff is just numbers. That's fluff.
Watching him, like watching his tape and watching his stuff like that, like teams try to like challenge him a lot. Like I was surprised about the amount of times he got one-on-one opportunities. And maybe with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, we'll see that in the league as well. But I thought teams really tried to like, no, let's make him prove that he's who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, again, you're going to come across – see, the thing in the league is you're going to come across – he came across a Michigan at the end, all right? This was the top defense in the NCAA, okay? They gave him problems, all right? Yeah. He won some. He lost some, all right? So going into the league, you need to treat each one of these games – we have to consider the, on one of these games is like him playing against Michigan. You're going to win some. You're going to lose some. Some are going to be right in between. But that's what you're looking at. Do you want to have a real assessment or maybe a pseudo assessment of what the NFL is going to be like? Watch the tape against Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. They did a good job against them. I think it forced him to be a little bit different than he had to be versus a lot of the competition. Like he was like, all right, I gotta go a little deeper into the bag of tricks than I am right now.
And that's what's going to be required. That's what's going to be required. Defenses are going to, you know, you're going to start breaking the smart ones. They're going to break down who he is, what he does the best, okay? You're going to try to take that away. Take away what he does best, okay? And when he does that, that's when you find out what type of player you are. You know, the NFL, they're going to try the best players. They're going to take away what you do best. Now, how do you respond? It's about how you respond, and that's when you become great.
It's I guess because this was another thing that TJ said, and it really stuck out to me that because of the situation that he's in, he's going to have a much easier transition into the NFL, and he could become the best wide receiver out of this draft with names like Marvin Harrison Jr. and with names like Malik Nabers in it, because teams are going to focus on him that much less. Is it easier to get better, quicker, with more opportunity, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to have? Like, yeah, everybody's focusing on him, but he's going to have all the opportunity in the world to take his lumps and improve from that. Or do you think it's easier when teams are kind of focused on the other people, but you get an opportunity to shine?
Well, if you're not the number one receiver, then there's or number one or number two, then there's a whole lot less pressure. You know, there's less pressure on you. You know, obviously. So when, from a development standpoint, you know, if you don't have a lot of pressure early on, you can develop, you can play behind these veterans and learn a lot from them. Cool. You know, if they thrust him into the number two spot, you know, Keenan Allen goes down. He, as great as a receiver as he's been, he has had been injured, you know, and so, you know, with 17 games being played in the NFL, good chance he probably isn't going to play all 17. You know, and so with that, you know, you get an opportunity to go from the three to the two, you know, or move stuff around. You know what I mean? There's plenty of opportunity for him to showcase, you know, his ability out there, you know, and again, you, in order for him to get that ball, we got to be able to protect, and Caleb has to be able to make that throw. So a lot goes into him, not just him moving into this position or being able to showcase stuff. There's a lot that goes into just being able to get the ball to him.
Yeah. You get, listen, at the end of the day, receiver's no good if the ball don't get his way. We've seen, listen, I've seen many a good receivers here in Chicago, and we didn't think they were as good as they were because the ball didn't get to them.
And the other thing too, you know, is each year that we've been here, we've been a Chicago Bear fan, or we watch this on TV, we say, okay, we want to throw the ball, but why aren't we running the ball? Why aren't we running the ball? Why are we dying on the sword of trying to throw the ball when the run is open and it's there? Yeah. So, again, we can talk about all these receivers and everything, but until it you know, are we, or is it going to be, okay, we're just going to throw the ball? Obviously, you got Shane Waldron. That's what he did. That's what he did. He let him fly. You know what I mean?
Keep telling us this.
But, and again, it, you know, In Chicago,
what's a good balance to you? What's a good balance to you? What, like, that you want to see from Shane Waldron, pass to run?
Man, listen, I just want him to win. I want him to win. If what he's doing passing wise is working, cool. But the reality is, you need to run the ball. You do. Yeah. You do. You do. And if you don't have a plan for it, you'll be like Matt Nagy, and we don't have a plan for it, you know, and we'll be stuck off, and we'll lose games that we could have won if we would just said, okay, let's run the ball. Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, we'll see what it ends up being. I think that the Bears have a really good opportunity to do a little bit of both here. Yeah, I mean, like, I for me, if he gets up to like 60-40, I'm happy. Because last year, I'm telling y'all, bro, like, they were 20, I think they were 25th in rush attempts on the season in Seattle. Like, it's just not enough. Like, it's not. You have to have a little bit of a balance. And especially, like you said, you mentioned Chicago. Like, we're not in the dome yet.
Did Seattle make the playoffs?
Not last year. Year before they made it. But they were, what, 8-9 last year? 9-8, 8-9?
Right. And so, you know, and I don't even know what the ratio was, but the ratio pass to run in Seattle was less than – it was more than 60-40. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no, yeah. It was more probably, than 60-40. It was probably 75-25.
Right, 75-25, maybe even a little higher, but, you know, and it did not equate to getting into the playoffs. So just, you know, sometimes we're too smart for ourselves. Some of these coaches are too smart for themselves. Don't overthink it, you know. Don't overthink it. Take what the defense is giving you.
And I think Seattle's a great comp, right? Because, and I understand, right? Offensive line struggles. They had a bad offensive line. We had a struggling offensive line here as well, right? Quarterback struggles. They got Geno Smith. We had Justin Fields last season. And they both end up taking their lumps.
Offensive lines are going to struggle when you play against good defensive doggone lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to recognize who you're dealing with, too. You come in with a healthy Cleveland Browns defensive line. You got to have a plan in there. You know,
yeah.
You got to, you come into a healthy San Francisco 49er line. You got to have a plan for that. All right.
Yeah. How much does the plan change during the week? If it's like, right, like, okay, we playing, who's a bad team right now? He's got a bad defensive line. I'm trying, no, the Giants just got better. They just got Brian Burns. Oh, Jacksonville just lost Brian Burns. or not Jacksonville, Carolina just lost Brian Burns. Right, we're playing Carolina this week. Here's our blocking scheme plan. Then we got San Francisco next week. How much change is going into that week by week?
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot you're going to be able to do against Carolina that you won't be able to do against the Niners.
Yeah.
You know, and you walk into the room, you know, you walk into the room against Carolina and you say, hey, guys, you know, you know that you're opening up that playbook. You walk into that room and you're getting ready to play the Niners. You're going to say, hey, fellas, hey, we have to tighten up. This is the game plan that we're going to have to go with to be successful, because they're crashing on those outside edges. We're going to have problems being able to get timing. So we're going to have to throw that off with screens, draws and things like that. Yeah. To kind of offset them chips. A lot of things we have to go into with when you have a top pass rush.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what this team is able to do. I think there's going to be a lot of fun this season. I think we're going to have a lot to look forward to. And it does predicate on a lot of these offensive line pieces they brought in. The insight of Lance Briggs, always a great, great time on the podcast. Before we let you go, Lance, I got to ask you about one more thing,
sure.
Not Bears related.
Okay.
Did you get a chance to watch Anthony Edwards go up against Denver? The Minnesota Timberwolves. He's got a nice team. I'm not going to just say
they're Anthony nice. Edwards. They are
the
nice.
The Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Denver Nuggets. Did you get a chance to tune in on that game at all, man?
Listen, no, but I did see the highlights. I did see the highlights. Yeah. Because he is the new face of the NBA.
Come on, face now. Of the league already. Oh, you there. You're there.
Come on now.
You're there.
Come on. Yeah. Hey, listen. He said I can put trash ball, I'll be great at it. You put me on the field, I'll be great at it. I would have been great at it. I've been great at baseball. I've been great at football. I like it, you know?
He's drawing a lot of, and he has said, I wish these comparisons would stop. He's drawing a lot of comparisons to somebody who is goated, not just in this town, but in the world. One Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah.
Now, comparisons to his game.
Long way to go.
As the high goes out. Yeah, I mean,
long way to go. Long way to go. But if he can stay consistent and be a finisher, start winning championships, continue to win championships. Hey, you know?
Legacy wise, you got to do a lot to get the Jordan, right? There's a lot that has to happen. But when you watch his game, and especially, right, you said you watched the highlights. I mean, that's where you're going to see a lot of it, right? Because that's what Jordan was putting on the show with.
Yes, indeed.
Do you see a little MJ in there? You see a little MJ in his game?
I definitely see an all around player that he's really fun to watch. He's exciting. To me, I think he's got the pedigree. He certainly got the pedigree, you know, and it's going to be a fun ride to see where it goes. That's to be honest with you. I think that there's an opportunity there, you know, I certainly is an opportunity there, and it's early. It's real early, man. Let's see what happens.
We haven't seen a player with that, to me, that perfect balance of like, when we in between these lines, I'm going to kill you. But when we outside of these lines, hey, listen, y'all talking about I'm MJ. I don't need that. I'm not trying to be the GOAT. I'm just trying to win day by day. Like, it's like he knows the perfect way to play this. I really wonder if he knows how much of a fan base he can build off of attitude and facial features alone. Because listen, I was watching this game this weekend and I was like, where was Michael in what year that would have been? He's 2024. Where was Michael in 1998? What city was he in about 9 months before Anthony Edwards was born? Because I'm seeing some comparisons here.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs has been fun, man. NBA playoffs have been fun. Your Kings didn't. What happened, Lance? What happened this year, man?
And so when you ask, did I watch the game? No.
That's why.
No. There's two things. You know, my Kings are out of it. So I get a little salty about watching other teams' success. And then it's, you know, I live in a border state, you know, and it was Cinco de Mayo weekend. So it's a big deal, you know. Had my sombrero, man. We partying out here. Not mad at that.
Little tequila, you a mezcal guy, ain't you? You mess with the mezcal?
I'm not normally, but okay. But there was a lot of there was definitely some margaritas out here. Woo! Oh yeah,
hey, I'm here for it. I can't go. Good. You never can go wrong with margaritas and tacos. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. Lance, appreciate you pulling up, showing love as always. Hey, for you guys out there, let us know how you guys feel about Roma Dunze. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Lance Briggs, I'm Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Peace.
Peace.